Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He loves His people, everyone. The Lord is perfectly faithful to His heritage. He is doing the best judgments possible on our behalf. And we can help by being the priest that we should be. We have to pay attention to the Lord. Things are not like they look. And one day we're just going to have to get past the fact that things are not like they look. In Isaiah 11, you know, sometimes we read over things that's very important. And it's relevant. And when we look at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we learn the most appropriate things we can ever know. That's relevant to the time we live. Everything should be focused on Christ. Now, Pastor Jim the Fourth, he said, when you start studying the Word, start with Jesus, and you'll stay on track. And he's right, because all the Word. See, Jesus was a mystery in the Old Testament, but He is the way that we should conduct our lives. When I first got saved, every night I started in Genesis. Every night I would read Genesis consecutively. And I had a strong understanding, not a perfect understanding, but a strong understanding of the Old Testament, and I understood the law. But when I got saved, in the daytime I would read Jesus. I would read what He talked about. And I wanted to know Him. And when I got saved and I had peace, I said, I'm going to obey Him. And as I obeyed Him, that's when I really started learning. Now, learning is in stages. When you hear the Word and you receive it, that's when faith forms in you and you come to a point where you believe it with the aid of the Holy Ghost. Then, when you act on it, it's faith. So, faith forms in the heart, and then you act on it. It's faith now. Faith is an act. It's not just believing alone. Believing is the foundation of faith, but when you act on it, you're in agreement. Faith is always an act, and faith is currently on. When you follow God and you obey Him, you're introduced to the life of God. It gives God a chance to intervene. Your faith enables God to act on your behalf. And heaven is able to deliver to you the promises that you get, and you put and living by faith currently, your faith is on. You're making faith-based decisions. When that happens, that's a process. If a person say, "Well, I'm gonna do this," whenever I said that, when I came to a point, I said, "I'm gonna do this. This is gonna be my new way of life." I wasn't just doing it to get a blessing. And that's how things are presented. So a lot of people process faith as something you do to get a blessing. No. You're going to get the blessing. The blessings, that's a byproduct. They're going to happen. But this is my new way of life. That's when things started to really change. That's when I really began to learn. And when I asked the Lord to teach me to love His people, that's foundational. Anytime you build on a strong foundation and get God involved, you're going to learn something. Now, what He taught me about loving people was found in 1 Peter and also 1 John. Everything that I learned about people, I was motivated to love them so that I was motivated to learn. I was motivated to be patient. I was motivated to forgive. I was ready to forgive. I was on guard to forgive. It became a reflex. Not just to benefit me, which forgiveness totally benefits the person that forgives, but it also showed me the heart of God. Things that I didn't know existed. Thoughts and concepts that I didn't know were even possible. That's why I desire to see people love God and learn God's word, learn His ways, learn His will. and you learn to conduct yourself according to His word and His love. And it works. You learn, you see people's needs. And you can't hate a person if you love them. You can't lust after a person if you love them. You can't steal from a person if you love them. And guess what? You're able to grow in love. And so when this happened, and then when the enemy comes to tempt, and he always does, you don't want his temptation. And then you're motivated by the love of God to drive him out. And it works. Works good. Some people are not motivated to drive out temptation. Now, we have a problem. We think everybody thinks like we do. And they don't. You know, to the froward, everybody's froward. To the humble, those that are kind and those that are loving, they think that people are loving and kind. That's the first thought that comes to their mind. They don't see the need. See, when you love people, you don't see the need of doing people wrong. But other people, they think oppositely. And then Jesus tells us to love all men, whether they do you good or bad. So we're motivated. But with that, everybody's not that way. Some Christians have not trained to do the things of God. So every Christian people are different and varied in their way. In the way that they see things, in the way that they process things. So you have to always, in every relationship among all people, you have to look at Christ. Now, this is when you look at Jesus, He's going to show you the details. Now, what I mean by looking to Jesus, I mean looking to the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God, receiving the Word of God, doing the things that Jesus told us to do. Looking to Jesus, that's receiving what God said and doing it. And when every time there's a thought or concept, and you consider what Christ said, what the word of God taught when he became a man. When you conduct yourself according to the Beatitudes as a way of life, then you start being God conscious. And when you're God conscious, that's looking to Christ. You're not physically looking to Him, but you're doing things according to His word, the promptings of the Holy Spirit. This is when we learn things we can't learn on our own. This is when we learn the true concepts of God, the essence of His word, the perfection of His word, the love of His word, or the spirit of His word, all the same thing. Now, let's take a look at Isaiah 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. We know that Jesus is the branch. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now let's look at that again. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And you know, when John saw the dove land on the Holy Spirit land on Jesus, like in the form of a dove, he said it rest. It remained. Jesus said, "When you see the Lord told him the one that when the Holy Spirit descend on him and remain. Well, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might." The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. When a church gets to a point that they embrace the Holy Spirit and do the things of God, and they're always endeavoring to do what Jesus said do, they're in a new stage. Now watch this. When the Holy Spirit rests upon a church, that's when miracles will happen as a way of life. That's when revelation will flow as a way of life. If they receive it in love, it will continue. If somebody get in pride, especially if the pastor's getting pride and they do things to look good. And it happens because everybody's not like Christ. Some people, they love God, but they still have their old ways. The Holy Spirit won't rest on that church. And there'll be limitations. People will start preaching compromise instead of finding out. See, when David had problems, he asked the Lord why. And then the Lord was showing, then he could make correction. Well, when people are not making the necessary corrections, then the Holy Spirit can't rest on that body. But this works as an individual and also as a group. We're all the body of Christ. See, when churches get to that point where the Holy Spirit rests on the members, everybody's embracing the Holy Spirit and the things of God, the knowledge of God, the counsel of God, the wisdom, everything that's listed in this. This is what the people are doing. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on them. They're receiving, continually receiving the Spirit of wisdom. When God tells them to do something, they do it. They don't go by their old opinions. They do it. See, when the Lord tell you what to do, that's a word of wisdom and understanding. Understanding comes after you obey him. Being understanding toward people, loving people. Then the Holy Spirit can rest on that. But when there's strife and disharmony, he can't rest on that, and he never will. The Spirit of counseling might. See, when you're tired and you're weak, and not, you know, it's just like Jesus had to go. He was about to go spend time with the Father. He was tired. He had done working. He was working all day. And here come a multitude to hear the gospel. Now, the Spirit of might will mount you back up. Counsel and might. God will show you what to do at any time, and you'll be appropriate. I have ministered the word when I was so tired. I had worked all day, and somebody wanted to hear the word. And I had new strength. I know this works. And we talked for hours. I have new strength. The Lord gives it to me. The Spirit of knowledge, and that without pride, and of the fear of the Lord. If you're going down the wrong road, thinking the wrong thought, then the fear of the Lord will rise up. If there's love in you, you will rebuke the problem. And the Holy Spirit will continue to remain on you. But see, when these things are not happening, when people are used to doing things their way only and the way that others did it, then you're going to have the same limitations. And guess what? The people that grow, the way that they grow is the way they'll live. Now, I've seen the Lord help me see this many ways. If the pastor don't get on board, the people won't get on board. Except for people who want more and they want a breakthrough. They'll keep following God, but it's so discouraging when everybody's doing the wrong thing. Some people, they almost break through. Most people don't break through. And then when you tell people, I hear so many people say, I only listen to pastor. And there are other men of God out there. And if they have a question, they ask the pastor. They don't even ask the Holy Spirit. And then they don't grow the same way because they only look at the pastor. And they wear the pastor out. They're the kind that call him early in the morning. We're not supposed to operate like babies. We are grown. The pastor's there to help us. True. To help us grow. I love my pastors. When I have a hard case, they say what I need. But I'm asking God. He's the author and finisher of my faith. The pastor's not the author and finisher of your faith. The apostle's not the author and finisher of your faith. We're just here to help. And the prophet is subject to the prophet. See, if you start letting pride get in, you cut people off. I don't need them anymore. I'm an apostle. I don't need a pastor. You know, I don't want to be a stupid apostle. So I listen. You have to listen when people are moved by the Holy Spirit. If they drift away from the Holy Spirit, you can tell because it won't work. It won't fit. But if they're in Christ and they're speaking according to the knowledge of God, it's going to work. I don't tell people everything that I ask the Lord about. I ask the Lord, and He used who He see fit. And I thank God that a lot of times He's used my pastor. That with that, we're here to do a function. People look to people for counsel, for guidance, and they will stick with it, whether it's good or bad. But when the whole church embraces the love of God, when people start taking the high road, being mature, doing what Jesus said in their marriage, not going to sleep angry, not withholding themselves from one another, but serving one another, that's when you're going to learn God. But if you start, remember something about Satan, even if you just do a little bit of Satan's works, a little bit of things the worldly way, a little worldly appetite, remember something about the world. It is invasive, and it starts with leaven. It starts small. But when you allow it, it's going to grow. If you miss cutting your yard, any yard, unless it's superly maintained, and my uncle used to pull the weeds out of his hand by hand. He didn't use weed killer. He pulled it out by hand. And his yard stayed beautiful. But I have a lot of trees, and everything grows in my yard, and I have to keep it cut. If I miss a week, or let's say 2 weeks, the third week, I'm going to have weeds popping up. I have to go out there and pull those weeds by hand. Because if I cut those weeds, they go to seed. And if I cut it up, I'm going to have a bunch of them in 3 more weeks. So I have to pull it by hand and put it in a bag and throw it away, and then cut grass. Sometimes I have to dig up the roots so it can't come back. Now, if people are not doing that spiritually, and they allow with small things, eventually they're not going to have a mind to pray, a mind to love God, a mind to seek Him, a mind to know Him. And that ministry will become a routine. And we're so good, we're made in the image of God. And we can get used to what was, and we can talk the talk, and even walk the walk. But if there's dead things growing, it's the Holy Spirit can't rest on us in that condition. You know, as the things of the world grow, the fear of the Lord won't work anymore. It'll come to a point that you'll rather do what you're doing than yield to the Holy Spirit. Then, you know, and when you, the spirit of knowledge, when God gives you knowledge, never get in pride. It's a grace. You couldn't give that knowledge to yourself. Whatever I do, the best of what I do is a grace. God gave it to me. He gave me knowledge. He gave me wisdom. He gave me what to do. He gave me His thoughts. The best of what I do is a grace. The office He called me to is important. And a lot of times God is calling people to be prophets and apostles. And because it's not received by the masses, they don't want the stigma, and they'll rather just downplay it. If God called you to do something, He did it for a reason, and it's important. You're just going to have to follow Him and get over the dead thoughts of others and do what God said do, so you can fit in your purpose in the body of Christ. Then there are people that want power. God didn't call them to be a prophet or an apostle, and probably never will. And they call themselves that. Now you're going to make a mess, and you're going to have to give an account for it. The thing to do is obey God. What is God guiding you to do? And don't try to figure out how to do it. If He called you to something, He's going to show you how to do it and prepare you for it and train you. That's when you're going to have to receive His knowledge and counsel and wisdom. And all the way that the Lord, the seven manifestations that rested on Christ. You got to receive these things. Let's look at it again. Verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. What God called me to do is a grace. And Elder Lewis gave a message I'll never forget. He said, get down to business with God, and God will get down to business with you. Can you see that in verse 2? The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Can you see, if you get down, if you embrace what God has given you and use it as a way of life, not just to solve a right now problem, but you're embracing these things and God is showing you what is. And he give you solutions just like he did David. And then you start healing. The healing process of salvation continues. Now, that's the kind of person the Lord rests on. In the course of our life, we're going to make billions and billions and billions of decisions. Now, what if we receive Christ in the first place, and throughout the whole course of our life, we make godly decisions in current time? And that's possible by the Holy Ghost and a healthy study of God's Word. Now, if you do these things, one day you're going to think that other people are doing it, but they're not. Some may do it. And it's refreshing to find people that's hungry for God. And they have a relationship. Some Christians have a relationship. And those are the ones I like to talk to. Some people they don't really have a relationship. They have head knowledge or heart knowledge of God. But they don't talk about what God is talking about. But when they minister, you know, they're in the flow of the Holy Spirit. But personally, you can be in the flow of the Holy Spirit ministry-wise and estranged from him personally. How can that be? Well, sometimes when I'm minding my own business, the word of the Lord will come to me saying something, teaching me, training me. I just learn to yield to it. That's for other people. And I benefit from it because I'm learning. But in my personal life, I have to invite God in. I ask God questions. And then he showed me things. And he answered me. And many times I ask the question, he'll answer me through others. Sometimes he'll just tell me right off. Because that's the relationship. Some people don't have that kind of relationship. They read books and... But when they're yielded to the Lord will use what they give him. And they do right that at that point. If you do right somewhere, God's gonna use it. He's always trying to get us on board. We're not better than others just because we're learning. Sometimes the Lord he's working with us to get us on board. We're not on board. Just because we preach a good sermon, say things beyond our years, that don't mean we're on board. When you yield to the Lord, that's when you're on board. When you're conducting your everyday life according to the word, and you're involved in the Holy Spirit, that's when he'll rest on you. And sometimes people are out of bounds and they don't know it, but they preach a good sermon and they bless others. All this is true. David said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Some people can flow in the Holy Spirit. They bless others. And then they peek at the computer. When the commercials come on, they watch the commercials, the rated R commercials. Nobody knows. If you don't deal with things, if you wait 3 weeks in a yard like mine, you're gonna have weeds. If you don't do nothing about the things that you know are there. I started saying sometimes things, it gets in your blind spot and you don't realize it. I said, you know, the enemy is slick, and I learned warfare. You know, the Lord taught me how to fight him. And the enemy will give you a thought today and wait 3 weeks and give you another thought. If you don't do nothing about it, it's going to keep happening. And before you know it, he'll set you up and surprise you all at once. But the temptation started when you in your blind spot and you didn't realize it. So I started saying with my mouth, everything of Satan's got to go. In case there's something I didn't see. And then my appetite changed. I did this with food. I said, I crave what I need the most. And my appetite changed for food. It didn't happen in one day. I just kept doing it. And some things I was eating, I lost appetite for. This is important. So I did it when it comes to the things of darkness. I believe in fail-safes. Then I want the Holy Spirit, all I can get, all I can receive, because people are dying and going to hell. And the Lord is doing the greatest revival that's ever been done is happening right now. And the Lord wants his people to know him. Now, we can't fight Satan with his ways in our heart. We can't fight him if we think like him. We got to think like God. We got to receive God's word in order to win. James said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you, in that order. So I want to be 100% submitted to God and 100% hating Satan's ways. Hating Satan's way. Everything that's of the devil, I want to hate it. And I confess that I hate it. I say it with my mouth. I hate everything of Satan, of the world. Worldly pleasure. It's a false concept. And some people say, well, they're scared to do that because they like some things. No. If it's of Satan, I hate it. I hate it. Now, when you're doing these things, it's easy to believe that others think like you, then they think like them. Now watch what Jesus said. What after this talked about the Holy Spirit, and it's a blessing. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. I love that. I can read that verse all day. But verse 3 says, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Now, when Jesus came, everybody expected him to do what the Pharisees were doing. The Pharisees were satanic. The Sadducees were satanic. And within a group, there's a few that may have ears to hear God, but they had become satanic. And nobody could tell. Jesus went around doing the real works of God, healing the sick, raising the dead, teaching people the Beatitudes, how to live the heart of God. And it exposed the evil as it really is. Now, if you do these things, you're going to ruffle feathers, because some people are not growing. They stopped growing a long time ago. But they're still preaching good because God is good. They'll yield to God in the pulpit and preach a good message. And it's wonderful. I love it. But that don't mean that they yield to him personally. And I'm not accusing people. This is just what the Holy Spirit has brought to me. Now, years ago,